T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go, Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right. Hour number 2, AJ and Dusty on this Wednesday, the 12th of May. This hour, Danny Morang, Blazers Outsiders, he'll join us 1:15, numbers lie at 1:30, and then Kristen Kenny, Jazz sideline reporter, the Utah Jazz play the Portland Trail Blazers tonight.
Yes.
Get excited.
I am excited. This is one of my favorite times of year in basketball. I love how much the end of the regular season matters.
We've said this before, but I love the fact that the top and the bottom of the regular season matters because of the play-in tournament.
Yep. Everyone loves drama when it's not theirs.
Yeah.
So the players don't like it.
Yeah, unless you're the seventh seed, you should be okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, you think Warriors fans are upset right now?
No. Nope.
Hell no. They're like, wait, we can be the 2 seed? Okay.
Yep.
We'll go, or the 7 seed, sorry.
And
taking on the 2 seed. We'd rather do that, right? Actually, you'd probably want to be the 8 seed because you get the banged up Jazz. But at this point, you sit there and we have teams at the top usually turn it off and try to manipulate who they're going to play at the bottom of the Western or Eastern Conference standings. And now it's like, oh, hell, guess we better play because we don't know who we're going to get. And it's added a lot more drama. So Blazers, Jazz tonight. The NFL is releasing its schedule tonight. And boy, they know how to manipulate a calendar. They own every month of the year.
Yes.
And they're even making primetime television out of their schedule release, which week one has been leaked. And it's apparently going to open up Thursday night, Tampa Bay hosting Dallas. So just another reason for Dallas Cowboys fans to feel like they're going to win a Super Bowl, only to be crushed early in the year. Then you have like Jets, Panthers, Jags, Texans. Ooh, Jags, Texans. Jacksonville going to get a quick win. Okay. I'll go ahead and do it. And then
Is Tim Tebow going to be on the roster?
No.
Okay.
I'll call that shot. But they're masters of manipulating a schedule and making sure, like, hey, they gave us a little taste in the morning to make sure, hey, by the way,
5 o'clock Pacific.
5 o'clock make sure you're watching.
Yep.
And then they're going to give you everything.
They rope you in.
And I actually am excited this year. And I wonder if anybody else is feeling this.
Okay, so what makes you the more excited this year?
Going up and seeing a Mariners game live, going to the Hops game live, being around other people in stands. I want to go to a game now.
Yeah.
I want to go to an NFL game. And I saw the Patriots, somebody's like, hey, so Patriots leaked schedule. And you don't know if it's real or not, but I'm going to be excited at 5 o'clock tonight because the leaked schedule had October 31st at Los Angeles Chargers. And I had this thought in my mind, like, okay, wait a minute now. You tell me Halloween. We've got family in Southern California. What if we did like a Halloween? Kids could go see, you know, family. We could do the trick-or-treating thing, Cali style, where they're not going to be freezing cold in the middle of the night.
So wait,
and then we go to a football game.
No. Why? We're not going to brush past that. You're going to trick-or-treat in a neighborhood that isn't yours? You're just going to go to some random neighborhood in Los Angeles and trick-or-treat?
No, I have family down there. My sister lives down there.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute.
I got a lot of family down there.
Okay, fine. I'll allow that.
And it would, I'm like, these wheels are turning. Like, how do I spin this as something that is acceptable to we go down and we see Chargers Patriots? Because that would be awesome in that beautiful stadium that they have.
That they're renting.
You know, your Chargers hatred, I get. But don't kill my high right now.
I'm not. I'm just letting you know that they're renting the stadium. It's not their stadium.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's important. But I agree. And this is why the NFL does it. This is why in May, we're talking about things that are happening in September and October. Because just like you, they're like, ha, ha, ha. They know. It's going to take you a minute to convince the wife, the kids, that this is a good idea. And so they're banking on it. They're giving you time to spend more money and create more plans to consume their product.
They're masters of it, too.
Masters of marketing.
They know exactly what buttons to push with their fan bases as well. And they find ways to manipulate that schedule to make it where people are interested every single month of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one, like, we have training camps at the end of July. We have, like, this month, we have your rookie mini camps that are starting, which, by the way, Penei Sewell testing positive for COVID.
Yes, he just tweeted that out. I'll have to find the tweet.
And he's going to miss the Detroit Lions rookie mini camp that's going on right now. And then you have things like the schedule release and the combines, usually in February. There's something that they, in the Super Bowl, obviously, in February, kind of a big deal. But they have something that gets you in every single month of the year to where you stay engaged and you stay entertained. And this year, I've never been like a big schedule. Like, I could usually care less, like, cool. What do we have no idea, like, who's going to be healthy or who's going to be on rosters. But the fact that, like, fans and going to games were absent for a year, that's a big deal now.
Because absence makes the heart grow fonder, Dusty.
That's so deep. So deep. So deep. If you're wondering what the week one of the leaked schedule looks like for the Seahawks, right here on The Fan, or her. Seahawks, 2.5-point underdogs at Indy.
How do you know that yet?
Vegas. BetOnline.ag has Indianapolis 2.5-point favorites hosting.
Another master manipulator, Vegas.
The Seattle Seahawks. Boy, I don't know. I'm a little surprised by that one.
I know.
I mean, how many upgrades did Indy get? I mean, did they upgrade the quarterback from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz? I'd say no.
No.
Especially at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. And
because his noodle arm hasn't fallen off yet.
It's important.
It's Phillip Rivers.
Yes. And this first 17-week schedule. So that's also, they're keeping us hooked in because this is in lieu of one extra preseason.
Yeah.
I'm so excited they're getting rid of the preseason. That was so silly.
Well, just one game of it.
Well, yeah, but I'm excited that they're getting rid of one game of it. So silly.
Well, I want to know this. Will you be more inclined to go to sporting events when they're coming back? Like ones that you normally would, because like, college, like Blazer games, college games, college football games, those are the ones that I would just, like, that's the given, right?
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to be more inclined as sports fans to go up to and say, you know what? I've been waiting on going to a Seahawks game. I'm going to do it. Maybe you haven't gone to a Timbers game. I'm going to do it now.
Yep.
Are these the ones where maybe you're going to be inclined to go to sports and go the extra distance, maybe to travel to a game? Because of the fact that when it got shut down, you didn't get to see anything for a year.
Totally. And I think having covered and been reporting on games for so long, I haven't been a fan at a game in forever. I mean, probably 6 years. I don't think I've been to a game as a fan other than like going to the Hops game or, you know, I've been to those a few times with friends. But I don't think I've gone to a Blazers game with friends since I've moved here. I've covered most of them. But for me this summer, I'm super excited, already planning a few Seattle weekends to go up and watch the Storm. Like, I've circled some of the Storm games on my calendar of like, oh, this will be really fun. Maybe we'll do like the Storm on a Friday, the Mariners on a Saturday, just to get experience again. Because I've missed it.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Get some of your feedback later this hour. But we got to talk Blazers. The Portland Trail Blazers on the road. 3-game gauntlet starts right now. Utah, Phoenix, and then the Denver Nuggets. They need to win 2 out of these final 3 to be 6th in the Western Conference. At least 6th in the Western Conference. They sit at 5 right now. We'll talk to Blazers outsider Danny Morang next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, the Portland Trail Blazers have 3 games remaining in the regular season against the Utah Jazz tonight, Phoenix Suns tomorrow, and then they wrap it up Sunday against the Denver Nuggets. To talk about the final stretch in the hometown team, which is playing some of the best ball they've played all year, is Danny Morang, Blazers outsider, NBC Sports Northwest. You can catch it tonight, 9 o'clock, after Blazers postgame. How you doing, Danny? Thanks for coming on, man.
Not too bad, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. You know, sun's out, so everybody's got to be happy about that. All right, this is a team that's playing the best basketball we've seen all season long. You are the realist in the crew. How much should we believe in this team as far as what their playoff peak is?
I mean, how many teams did they beat, you know, that are, you know, above them in the playoff standings that have had their full complement of players?
That would be none.
That's just none.
Yeah.
So I've, even before they went in the midst of it, that 0-5 run, I said the same thing then, and I'll say now. What they do between now and the end of the season isn't really going to matter grand scheme as far as what they will or won't do in the playoffs. I don't think it's entirely indicative, but it's also probably better to be playing not your worst basketball of the season going into the playoffs. So they've at least figured some things out. They're playing with some energy. They're playing with some precision, and they're executing on both ends of the floor a lot better than they were significantly better in some dimensions. So I think it bodes well for them. But as far as translating to the playoffs, I mean, it's just so hard, especially when you're looking at the potential matchup being the Clippers. That's hard to gauge, man. And even when you do, it doesn't look good for Portland.
But I think when I look at this team and what they've been, the swings have been so dramatic, right? The expectations at the beginning of the year. And then you have CJ and Nurk get hurt. And then Dame all of a sudden puts his team on their back and they tread water. And then you have the swoon where they go through the five-game losing streak. And now this truly is the best basketball that they have been playing. And I think those swings being so dramatic, they bring us back to a spot where this is what we expected of this Blazers team when the season started, correct?
I'm kind of the glass half empty guy for most of the time anyways. So like, I had this team slated sixth and people were calling me crazy coming into the season, and guess where they're going to end up? Sixth. It's like, it's one of those situations where like, I know better than everybody else. It's just, it was less about them and more about the teams around them. Utah got better. They were, you know, they were finally healthy and having some folks around. Phoenix closed out the year incredibly well, 8-0 in the bubble, and then added Chris Paul. I think the Mavericks fell down. Obviously, the Lakers fell down. But you had other teams step up in their place that looked significantly better. And it was one of those things where it's like, wow, the West is just going to be a bloodbath to, like, you know, what, 1 through 12? And it ended up basically being a 1 through 10 situation. So barring a few injuries here or there, this could have been a season where Portland legitimately could have finished anywhere between probably 4th and 8th. So it's definitely kind of hard to parse it all out when it's all said and done. But I think ultimately they're going to end up with probably two wins less than they were forecast to. And, I mean, that's about where they should be.
Yeah, pretty dang good.
Now, the question I have for you is, we saw a lot more of Mr. Derek Jones Jr. against the Rockets. So that was the first time, let's see, in the last like 10 games, he's only played 20 plus minutes.
He's alive.
Twice. But he did seem to have a pretty decent impact. He was 4 of 16, plus minus a 13. I think he had 11 points in the game. So what are you seeing? Like, how do you anticipate Derek Jones Jr. being used down the stretch and into the playoffs?
I don't know how many guys are going to be out for Portland down the stretch. That kind of determines how many minutes Derek's going to get at this point. It's hard for me to figure out where Derek sits right now. Like, he's not in the doghouse, but Terry clearly is not utilizing him because of his, you know, inability to consistently shoot from the outside. I think Portland has, if they've done anything, they've leaned heavily into shooting. The only non-shooter they're really employing in their eight-man lineup is Enes Kanter. That's it. And they'll throw a sprinkle of Rondae Hollis Jefferson out there. But that's pretty much all you're looking at as far as non-shooting. Ant's getting 20-plus minutes a night. Melo, when he's healthy, is getting 20, 22. Kanter's getting 20. Everybody else is getting 34, 36 minutes, and that pretty much covers it. So I could see Derek in a playoff matchup. Let's say they match up with the Clippers. They're going to need some length and some versatility to deal with Kawhi and Paul George all night long. So I could see him getting some minutes, but I could also see Terry Stotts going, nah, Rondae. So it's so hard for me to put a finger on what exactly Derek needs to do to get on the floor. But the one thing's for certain is he provides them with things that they don't otherwise have, and that's elite athleticism, finishing ability, and some defensive tenacity and wingspan and passing lanes that can generate some turnovers and gets them some easy points.
Yeah, and that's you mentioned that matchup with the Clippers. You're looking at a lineup that, outside of the point guard position, where you'll have like a, you know, whether it's Beverly, Rondo, whomever they're going to throw out there at the point, you'll go 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", 7 foot, Nick Batum at 6'8", coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, like the three guard lineup, right? Isn't that where we sit there and say, this is where the roof is on that three guard lineup?
Yeah. I mean, it's a definite, row kind of situation, because it is. It's just big bodies over and over and over. And it's not that Dame, CJ, or just poor defenders overall. But they can be passable when they're matched up in situations where guys aren't just significantly oversized or overpowering them. The trade-offs come when, you know, the DeMar DeRozans of the world get CJ on the block at the two, and it's just like, oh, okay, cool. So DeMar's going to cook tonight. It's one of those situations. And the same thing's going to be true with the Clippers. Like, who are you going to put on Kawhi all night? Like, you going to tell Cove to go ahead and take Kawhi all night, head up? No, that's not what he does. He's not a point of attack guy. I mean, you're going to take Norm and say, hey, go ahead and have luck with good luck with Paul George at 6'9". You know, it's like, what are you supposed to do with that? And then how are you going to hide somebody on Morris? You know, is Nurk going to have to play between two guys, a stretch guy in Morris and Zubac, who's has an incredibly high field goal percentage at the rim. He's not a guy he can just leave. He's not a non-factor for them, especially when you're talking about Rondo, who picks defenses apart and finds guys with lobs regularly. So, yeah, it's – I mean, the Blazers' kryptonite is and has always been in the Damian Lillard era, you know, I should say the post-LaMarcus era, LaMarcus era without big-bodied wings. Mm. Like, Wes made up for it by being a human truck. I mean, he even though he gave up 2 inches, there was nobody going to bully him. Right. That was never going to be a problem. And Nick's 6'8", 6'9", with a, you know, a 7-foot wingspan. So it's one of those situations where you can definitely cover up some stuff, especially when you're playing LaMarcus at the 4 and Robin Lopez at the 5. You can make up for some size in other places that you wouldn't otherwise.
Okay, so here's a question for you. So Zach Collins has been reported to obviously not be back in the regular season, could be back in the postseason. If he comes back, obviously would not, you know, you're throwing him into a freaking playoff situation.
Yeah.
Do you think he would see minutes in that situation, and would he be capable of helping?
Here's the thing. If I'm Zach's coach, GM, agent, father, friend, dude on the street, I have the same answer for him. Do not play this year. Mm. Do not play this year. There is nothing for you to gain. If you go out there and you get hurt again, you are done.
Yep.
You are absolutely unequivocally done. You have not played basketball essentially in 2 years. Get 100% healthy. Go sign your 1-1 deal that you need, that you're going to have to prove anyways. But you can still probably get a 1-1. You can still probably get a 2-year, $12 million year with $5 million up front and $7 million on a team option on the next year. If you go out and you get hurt, you are getting a vet minimum, and you are going to have to play probably 2 or 3 years without any injuries before you get another deal of any consequence. So as much as I'm sure he's dying to get out there. I mean, he is absolutely a competitor from an entirely selfish branding, financial well-being, you know, standpoint. I would not have him out there. I would just tell it, even as an organization, I would advise him not to go out there.
You are a numbers guy. You understand numbers. I do not understand simple math. Net rating of 5. I understand they are in some pretty rarefied air, but I look at the teams that they have been playing against not being fully loaded. What should we make of this net rating of 5? Because they have been playing exceptional offensive basketball, far better on the defensive end, and that is visible. But what should we make of these numbers based on? We know that the opponents haven't been at full strength all of the time.
So offensively is something I think you can lean on a little bit more, because that's just one of those situations when you're running. And I think the Blazers, not only are they elite shot makers and shot creators, you can tell when the offense is running because guys are working for each other. The ball is moving around. It's not necessarily the assist totals being that much higher, but you can just see the effort necessary. Like Damian Lillard, the last, 5 games is averaging over 30 a game, shooting, 50, 50, 96. The last time I looked, it was something it's absolutely obscene. But look at the shot totals. He's not having to work for 24, 25, 26 shots a night, and that doesn't count the times that he works for shots and gives it up. The ball is moving around. The shot distribution is more equitable. You're seeing guys, Dame, CJ, Norm, hovering right around 17 and a half shots a night, give or take a night. And then you've got Nurk filling in, and that has been the biggest difference on both ends. It's Nurk's defense walling off, taking care of things, and then you've got the guys on the outside who are knocking down shots. Norm knocking down corner threes unlocks his defense in ways that nobody else can.
Beautiful.
He's not just a spot-up guy. He's a guy who, when he catches the ball, and he can more than anything, either whether it's off the catch or within a set, him and Dame are the only guys on this team that can consistently take guys off the bounce and get to the rim and finish through contact. CJ is CJ. He's going to get to that floater. He's going to get to that left-handed little runner. But he's not an interior finisher. He never has been. And since he's come back from his injury, he has gone away from it. I think a big part of that is because his feet are bad and he stays away from going in the paint. That's been something he has done his entire career. He doesn't want to put himself in that position because seemingly every time he does, something bad happens to his feet. So, you know, you need that additional element that Norm and Nurk provide as interior finishers, interior forces. And I say that about Norm because that man at 6'3" keeps putting guys on posters that shouldn't be put on posters. And it's incredible. So I would lean heavily on the offensive stuff right now. The defensive stuff, it's just about them giving a damn. That's really what it comes down to, especially Dame. Just not dying at the point of attack, offering some resistance, not letting guys turn a corner freely. That's really the stuff that they can focus in on. You're going to get matched up in a series where you're either going to have Jokic, you're going to have Kawhi and Paul George, and you're not equipped to handle those guys to stop, as far as their shot-making ability. So you find a way defensively at least to take the other guys out of the game.
Danny Morang, Blazers Outsiders. You can catch it tonight, 9 o'clock on NBC Sports Northwest. Thanks for the time, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, no problem, guys. You take care.
Danny Morang, who I bet he's playing golf. Here's the thing. Norm and Nurk have been awesome.
So good.
They have been a huge catalyst for this.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that has been a conundrum for a lot of Blazer fans all year. He's found his role, but I don't think it's what we expected. And the return on it, on what the Blazers gave up, is still a little head scratching. Robert Covington's offensive production is not there. Defensively, he is still making plays. He's kind of gone back down into a little bit of a swoon again. And that is going to be an interesting one, because if he gets red hot again, that's where this team is dangerous, is if he's making shots from the perimeter.
But I also think his defense is, like, the offense has never been a problem for Portland. They've always been able to score with or without Rocco making his shots. Mm-hmm. Robert Covington is that guy who's willing to take on the... I mean, he took on Anthony Davis against the Lakers almost the entire night. He was so pesky, so in his face. AD was visibly frustrated.
And those are the ones where you don't care if he makes a shot the
entire
game.
Not a single one. And so to me, that's why when you look at the matchup, like Rocco didn't even get mentioned as somebody that Danny talked about with Kawhi or with Paul George or with Jokic. And I understand the difference in positions.
Because he has to guard all of them.
Well, he can't guard all of them, but he can eliminate one of them.
All right.
He can severely limit one of them. Mm. And I think Robert Covington's defense doesn't get talked enough about as an X factor for their potential in the postseason, in these final three games where they've got to win at least two of them. If Robert Covington is who he is at his best as a defender, that's a big get for Portland.
Do you know what I love?
What do you love?
When my non-analytics knowledge, I can look at it and be like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. It's like, yeah, the numbers are really good. Your eyes are telling you it is better,
mm-hmm.
and what you're seeing is better, but you pump the brakes when they try to say, hey, top five! You're going, yeah, we know. It can be better, but not as good as what the analytics are saying right now. And that is where the Portland Trail Blazers are. They are far better on both ends of the floor right now than they have been at any time in the year. Are they a top five team in the West or in the NBA right now? No. But that's okay. And people, that's okay.
Is their defensive rating 16th still in the NBA? Since the trade deadline and Nurk and Norm came back?
Yeah, they're hovering right around the middle, yeah.
Okay. So what was it? I think the lowest NBA champion in the last 15, 20 years was 11th in defense.
Yeah, 11th.
It was 11th.
Yeah.
So
you did the deep dive on that one.
It was a lot of math. Well, it wasn't even that much math. It was just checking.
It was just
numbers.
Looking at numbers.
But sometimes
which is,
numbers
we'll
swim.
Call that math.
Well, does that ever happen to you? Or like numbers, you like write them down or, and then you read them back and you're like, wait a minute. Like numbers move for me. It's not great.
This is new.
it's like I'll write something down and then I'll go back and I'll have written it down just wrong.
Oh,
but it's like I read it.
Are you
but
talking like
no,
only with numerals?
It's only numbers. Only numbers. Math is really not my strong suit.
I'm sure there's a name for what's going on with that right there.
Surely I can't be alone.
It's called brain fartinitis.
Ah,
no, you
like squishy knee?
You could be alone.
Squishy brain.
I think everyone's brain is squishy.
If your brain is not squishy, you've got a problem, Will.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Hard brain problem.
No, I believe it's called tough brain, and I guess you guys just don't have it. If that's normal for you.
Obviously, you ain't done enough Oklahoma drill, bro.
Gosh. Did you see that video of the kid?
It's disgusting.
Jeez Louise. sweet.
The little kid getting lit up.
That's awful. No.
That is dumb. And that's there are a bajillion amazing things about the game of football. That is one that is wrong with it.
Oh, it's abhorrent.
One of what I believe are the few that are wrong with that game. That's one of them.
Ugh.
It sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Danny Meringue. They say numbers never lie. We will prove sometimes they do.
Great. More math.
AJ surely will mix them up in her brain.
It will happen.
After Will with SportsCenter. They say numbers never lie. We will prove, right, meow? They do. With a segment we call Numbers Lie, Will Darkens.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Trailblazers are playing the Jazz tonight in Utah. Okay. Hoping to keep that winning streak live, hoping also to notch a playoff spot with a win there. Then also Lakers losing to the Rockets. A big part of the Jazz success this year, of course, has been Rudy Gobert. He's done a pretty good job of making people forget about the fact that he is an easy one to blame for NBA spread of COVID, even though that's not entirely accurate.
It's easy, but it's inaccurate.
Yeah. But I wonder if you remember back in 2019 when he broke the single season NBA record for dunks with 406.
No.
406.
I'm going to go no.
That just doesn't. You Mm-mm. have to. No.
No way. No way, 406.
Both of you.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's like, okay, math, but that doesn't add up.
It's actually 306.
Mm.
That's.
Which is still a lot of dunks.
It is, but that, for whatever reason, the four was really high.
The four punched it for you?
Yeah.
If I did 506, you might have been like, well.
Okay.
All right.
We might be talking.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, very sad news yesterday. It was reported Hawaii quarterback and Heisman finalist Colt Brennan was found dead at a California rehab center, though he held many, many, many passing records in the NCAA. He still holds the NCAA passing record for single season touchdown passes with 58.
That's a lot, Bob. Oh, is that the number?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's not, because Dusty sounds so confident. Yes.
Dusty, you were correct that it is not, though.
50.
It is not 50.
50.
In fact, the record was surpassed 50. By Joe Burrow. During the 2019 season with 60.
Yeah.
Wow.
60 effing touchdown passes, which is kind of interesting because when you watch Joe Burrow do it, it didn't look as gimmicky as when Colt Brennan did it back in 07.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Well, because he's running an offense and not a run and shoot. Like he was like with like a bunch of NFL dudes out there and not throwing the ball like 65 times a game. My God.
That would actually be interesting to see how many more attempts there were by Brennan than Burrow.
Yeah.
Research department.
I don't think that'd be hard to find out.
I don't know if it would be that much of a difference. Joe Burrow threw a lot in that season. Like
yes.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to a fun one. And it's going to start off with a joke. The supply chain shortage.
How about that?
Just got foul.
Huh.
Chick-fil-A is limiting the number of sauces it's giving out to customers because of the limited stock.
Boo.
They'll have to provide enough sauce for the currently 2,600 restaurants they have open across the United States. Mm-hmm. 2,600 restaurants.
That's a lot. Is that true?
I don't know.
Is that the question?
Oh, how many Chick-fil-A's there are?
Across the United States, 2,600.
I actually think there's probably more.
God, 2,600 is a lot.
I know, but 2,600, well.
Like, think about it. We have
2,600 divided by 50.
We have like 3 in Oregon.
Yeah, but then you go to like
Georgia, which probably has 2,600 in Georgia alone.
Well, and I feel like Denver, I remember when I lived there, I feel like there were a bunch of them. California.
No, 2,600 is a lot. 2,600, no, too many. 2,600 is too many. No. No.
2,600 is too few. No.
One of us is going to get this right.
Well, no, because we both said no.
No, because you both said no.
Oh.
Quit changing the rules. You do this every time.
I didn't know
you
if it was like an over-under. I thought it was an over-under. You
We've
went,
never
no.
played over-under.
Well, I don't know. All right, no.
All right, both of you are wrong. It is, in fact, 2,600
On the dot?
Yes.
Wow.
According to a recent report. That's the information I have.
Where did you get this information?
Yahoo Finance.
Wait, but you said more.
I thought there was going to be more.
We need to find out how many more there are. Like, I would be floored if Chick-fil-A is like, you know what? 2,601, too many. 2,600, that's our number for 2021.
Staying right there. Staying there.
All right, I got one more for you, and this one, like, blew my mind. I couldn't believe this. And I wish I could save it. Well, I'm not going to be here Friday for Would You Rather, but
this
is a perfect one.
You're both ditching me on Friday?
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. Maybe I won't come either.
2672, official number of Chick-fil-A's. You were right.
I was right.
Yeah, the article is what he was going off of, which that's okay.
So I was right.
That's okay, yeah.
Give me the ding, please.
I'll just give you a cash ding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Strike cash.
There's another one for you. All right.
Thank you.
78-year-old Florida man, Bob Broyles.
Wait, hold on. Did you say which sauces they're shorting on?
Like, yeah, that's actually way more important.
That is a very important thing here.
It's the Chick-fil-A sauce. There's just one main
sauce.
It's
the... Well, but they hand out, like, ranch and barbecue and buffalo.
I never get the actual Chick-fil-A sauce.
That's what it is.
I'm a Polynesian man. Yep. I'm a sweet and spicy, and of course, ranch. I get a lot of spices when I go.
I get a lot of ranch.
You get a lot of ranch?
I have ranch on most food.
Oh.
Ever.
What did we learn about AJ today?
Numbers ranch are on the most worst. Foods.
Oh, yeah, you have dyscalculia. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Will.
Didn't you have another one?
Dyscalculia.
Let's get out of this.
A 78-year-old Florida man, Bob Broyles, was just minding his own business.
Sure
feeding his turtles at a creek near his home at midnight when he accidentally fell into the creek and battled to stay upright in quicksand for 3 hours.
I believe it. There's nothing quick about quicksand.
What? You're not supposed to battle it, though. You're supposed to get flat and inch your way out, right?
Well, that's technically battling.
Guys.
Like, battling doesn't have to be this frenetic movement.
3 hours.
Quicksand?
Was he in quicksand for 3 hours before being rescued?
I believe that, yes.
In Florida?
Yes.
Totally.
And it was at midnight? Yeah. Probably took someone that long to figure out, like, what's screaming?
Yeah, because the tweakers go out at 3. So if it was at midnight, 3 a.m. sounds about right. Damn.
Oh, man.
It was 6.
8 hours.
No way.
78-year-old Bob Broyles spent 8 hours in quicksand near his creek before a family member finally kept calling him early in the morning and figured out, well, he usually answers around this time. What's going on? Drove to his house, heard him screaming for help.
Wow.
How does he still have... Was he... Wow, I have so many questions.
Ask him.
Well, I don't think we'll have the answer.
I got some answers for you.
Okay, I want to know, did he do what Dusty said, where he, like, gets low and sort of army crawls his way out of there?
Should've got low.
Quote,
low,
twice, low, I tried to come up, but I couldn't do it. I got my back against the hill and just laid there. The only thing that scared me was the water moccasins.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my gosh. You have just described my worst nightmare.
My own personal hell.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to need a minute to recover. That's traumatizing.
And then the family member brought over some workers that were nearby to help them get Bob out. And Bob thanked them by giving them all Red Lobster gift certificates.
You know what? What a saint. Those cheddar biscuits are to die for.
I can't talk
Well,
about
he almost
biscuits.
Did die for them. But they are to die
bad
for.
Bad choice of words.
That's such an old man thing to do.
Oh my gosh.
Go down to the Red Lobster.
I cannot get that image out of my head of him sitting in quicksand and having water moccasins slithering everywhere and he can't do anything about it.
He should have replicated their movement. Obviously, they were okay.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Ah.
Too bad you weren't there to punch him.
I don't punch water moccasins. You don't mess with water moccasins. You get as far away as quickly as possible.
By the way, I have the Colt Brennan versus Joe Burrow.
Oh, the
touchdowns.
Did you? I wanted attempts.
I got you. Okay. So on the season where Colt Brennan threw 58 touchdowns, he attempted 559 passes.
Damn.
Okay. Joe Burrow, when he threw 60, he attempted 527 passes.
Oh, weird.
No.
What?
Joe Burrow played an extra game or a full game more than Colt Brennan did that year. So the attempts really, Colt Brennan averaged 40 attempts per game. Joe Burrow, 35 attempts per game.
Oh, that's not that much. That's
five
that's
more
slight,
attempts per game.
That's a
throwing the ball
difference.
40 times a game is ridiculous.
It's a lot, yeah.
That is a lot.
If you go back and look at that tape, though, a lot of Hawaii's offense, though, had the shuffle pass that they basically faked as a run. Like, running the ball to them was shuffle pass. Mm. AJ is basically
shuffle or shovel?
Shovel. Shovel pass.
Yeah, you shovel it. Shovel.
AJ is basically in a panic right now.
Shuffle or shovel?
For the raw water moccasins things.
I just can't.
Water moccasins next on the Fan.
No.
So, in the place that the Black Mamba played, Mambas, snakes, LeBron, who might be going by the new nickname, the Water Moccasin.
Stop. You're the worst. I'm going to quit.
Oh, no, you won't.
Watch me.
Please. Well, don't do it.
No water moccasin talk on this show.
Okay.
I had like three rules. That was the first one.
Okay. All right. LeBron James, according to Chris Haynes.
LeBron the water moccasin James.
That's right.
You guys are the worst.
He's slithery on the floor. And he's got a bite that's venomous. And he'll get you when you're sleeping.
Keep going.
In your bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He also drinks water.
He does. And Gatorade.
Does he wear moccasins?
Probably.
Yeah, you missed that.
You ever seen what he's been wearing? Remember that suit with the shorts?
That was
something else. And then he picked up his Merce. Was like, be better. He walked out. What was that?
No.
When was that?
He strutted out.
That strutted
out. Yeah. He strutted out of that press conference right there. Yep.
This Gucci handbag.
Be better as everybody's just like, you look like Angus Young. All right. Chris Haynes is saying no LeBron tonight.
Unlikely against the Rockets.
Yeah. Dare I say, that could be big news for the Blazers?
I mean,
nah.
The Rockets have lost, 43 of their last 47?
Yeah. Yeah, but how about this?
Yes.
Everybody else seems hurt for the Lakers, too. Like, half their team is on the injury report right now.
It's true.
So, the Rockets aren't going to win. You know what this is lining up for? The Lakers are going to have like Anthony Davis in a back-to-back on a minutes restriction, or they don't even play him because it's the Rockets. Kyle Kuzma scores 60 points and carries the Lakers to a win.
Yep.
And you're just like, what the hell, man?
Every time.
But I don't know. Blazers need to take care of their own business tonight against the Utah Jazz.
If they stay in, Blazers control their own destiny. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'd like the path to be a little bit easier, but this is the second best option.
True that. Let's talk about that game tonight. Jazz sideline reporter Kristen Kenny joins us next on The Fan and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.